Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. She also runs a holistic life therapist certification program where you can get paid to guide clients to profound change and work from the comfort of your own home. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here because today's topic is a really important issue. I'm going to be talking about caregiving and how this can take a toll on you as an individual and on relationships. And of course, as always, I'm going to be sharing some tools, some tips, some ideas with you that hopefully they'll really help you to get through this if you are struggling caregiving at the moment yourself, or your partner is, or someone you're close to that you care about. You may want to share this with them and support them. According to the National Alliance for Caregiving, more than 43 million adults provide care at home for other people. On average, they spend 24 hours a week taking care of their loved one, making it, in truth, an unpaid part-time job. Caring for someone you love, whether it's a parent, child, partner, or other family member, can be such a rewarding thing to do. Knowing that you are the one to make another person's life easier or more comfortable if they are struggling. Most will definitely boost your self-confidence and self-esteem. However, it can also become a strain on a person and on their relationship, especially when the caregiving role has evolved gradually. For example, a person may get a sudden diagnosis of a serious health condition and may need instant support. Often without thinking, family members will step up as it's an instant need, and over time, when people start to slip out of the crisis mode, they realise, wow, how stressed am I? How stressed they are feeling, and how much they're feeling overwhelmed, and how much they perhaps have neglected their own life and themselves. And they struggle with this additional responsibility. As a marriage counsellor online and in Dubai, and I say marriage counsellor, but hopefully you know by now that I don't believe in the traditional counselling. I do more coaching and guiding and mentoring and giving couples tools and practical tips and ideas. I regularly receive messages from people all around the world, and this is one that really touched my heart. And I get messages often about caregiving, and this is one that I'm just going to share with you with her permission. Hi Nicola, I've been searching for some support and I found your podcast. I have to say it has really helped me, as I believe a lot of the issues you cover in your podcast are things that I'm experiencing in my marriage. I'm going through something and I wanted to know what you would suggest or advise. My husband Marcus and I have recently moved closer to his parents' house as his dad is suffering from dementia, and it's a lot of work for his mum to look after his dad alone. So we help out daily. On top of several check-ins during the day, we also have three young children and Marcus has a full-time job and I work part-time. So as you can imagine, it's quite draining on our relationship. But I can also sense that the strain is putting on Marcus and he's becoming more distant. He is trying his best to juggle everything and I'm worried about him burning out. Anything you can suggest on handling the impact of caregiving on a person in relationships would be greatly appreciated. There are many situations like Courtney's where there is a gradual shift towards becoming a primary caregiver to an elderly parent because they are not able to do things for themselves. It's hard not to take care of people who have brought you up. However, it's important to prioritise things and understand that there are additional extra options to ease the load without feeling like you're letting down your parents or any other loved ones. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is a caregiver, you may have heard of the term the sandwich generation. This relates to adults who are providing for and looking after children, as well as looking after aging parents. This can be perfectly normal for some people. However, if the children are young and demanding, and the elderly parents require a lot of attention and support, it can be so draining and it can have a huge impact on the quality of a person's life. So today I'm going to talk about how being a caregiver can affect you as an individual Then I'm going to talk about how it can impact relationships with family and friends, and then romantically, how it can affect your romantic relationship. And I'll also be sharing my tips on how you can reduce the impact on you and your relationships when choosing to be a caregiver. So let's first look at how being a caregiver can affect you as an individual. Many people I help to release the guilt of putting themselves first, and they join my breakthrough sessions, and they need help to say no and to not feel guilty, as well as how to look after themselves and get that balance so that they can live their life fully and freely. So how does it affect an individual? Well, it can be constantly feeling anxious about a loved one's health. It can increase someone's own anxiety. They can feel lethargic, having no passion or enthusiasm for other activities, which in turn can lead someone to lose themselves. And that's often another reason why people come to have my 3-day intensive, because they feel like they no longer recognize themselves anymore. Struggling to get a good night's sleep because you're constantly stressed or worried. It can lead to developing unhealthy coping habits like drinking every night or smoking or emotional eating or not eating to cope. It can be completely neglecting your other responsibilities because you don't have enough time, and then feeling irritated at yourself by it or guilty for not doing those other responsibilities. You can have, as I mentioned, no time for your self-care. You may stop doing exercise, which of course we all need for our mental and physical well-being. It can leave people feeling irritated and agitated due to the lack of sleep and exhaustion. It can lead a person to get really angry at others, annoyed with the person perhaps you're caring for, angry at the situation, why you, and it can feel like a weight is on your shoulders from the moment you wake up. It can make you feel stuck because you want everyone to be happy and you feel like you can't please anyone. No one's happy, you're not doing enough for everyone. It's difficult physically and emotionally to give equal amounts to your children or your friends or your husband or wife and the person you're caring for. And it can also lead to financial strain. If you're providing for the person's care, if you already have your own financial struggles anyway, if you had to give up a job to look after someone, then of course financially it can be a stress and a worry. And it can also ignite fear. A lot of people come to me to help them with fear, and when they see someone get sick, they can start to think, well, what am I going to do? Have I got enough finances for my future? Is my health good enough for my future? Is my husband's, is my wife's? And they can start to panic about their own future. So it's important to get help if you feel like you're really drowning in the stress and overwhelm. And I'll talk about some tips soon. So how can being a caregiver can affect your relationship with friends and family members? So you may have limited or zero social life. You've got no time to enjoy yourself. And this can definitely take a toll on someone's mood over time. You may gradually lose your friends as you decline invites out, so they stop inviting you. You lose contact with those around you, and that means a limited support system for you when you actually need that support system. You could be missing out on key events like your children's performances, parents' evening, sports day, things like that. You may miss out on other things that you really would have loved to have gone to. And this may leave you feeling, again, torn, stressed, regretful, or guilt may be part of your weekly experience, never feeling you're doing enough. Your children may begin to adapt to you not being there, and they become closer to your partner. I've had that. And that can be really difficult for a parent to find that the children are now moving away from them. Having less time to spend with family or friends on special occasions like birthdays, anniversaries, and other events, which can make others feel like you don't care for them when of course you do really care for them. And then it can also cause a lot of conflict in families. Sometimes I've worked with people where they're just so upset that they've got 3 or 4 brothers and sisters, and it's all on them to care for the parents, and they feel it's so unfair, and they argue with their siblings and try and get them to help, and then just not interested. And that can be really difficult. And now let's talk about romantic relationships. So how does being a caregiver affect romantic relationships? Well, if one partner is looking after his or her parents, they may feel stressed if they do not have the right emotional or physical support. Whereas the other partner may feel stressed because they're carrying the burden of running the household and the family alone, while their husband or wife looks after their parents. So it can cause a lot of conflict, both feeling neglected, both feeling stressed and unsupported. So it's important to navigate through that. Less time as a couple means limited romance. No time for date nights, no time for working on maintaining a deep connection to one another. And this can push a couple further apart. If someone is the caregiver for their partner, this can also put a strain on the relationship because the caregiver has a responsibility to look after all the needs of their partner and they may not be able to get any of their needs met in the relationship for a variety of reasons. And this can make a person feel less like a romantic partner and more like a professional help or a roommate. And for obvious reasons, if you are looking after your partner and they're not able to give you anything back or much back, it can be really difficult. There can be a lot of emotions, a lot of mixed emotions, love, care, wanting them to be happy and well, and then also frustrated, fed up, confused, in conflict, wondering, is this what my future is going to be like? Am I never going to have the passion, the excitement, the active life I used to have with my partner? Is this what I want? And obviously that can bring a lot of guilt and fear. So that definitely needs to be worked through if you're the person caring for your partner. And then, as mentioned, emotions and tensions can build, cause arguments, which are often left unresolved because caregiving duties take priority and there's less time to work on the relationship. And if both partners aren't in agreement on how much a person does for their parents, it's going to cause friction, or how much financial contribution they make, or if one person wants to bring the parents to live with them in the relationship and the other one doesn't, if one person wants to go and travel and be with their parents for 3 or 4 months and the other person doesn't want them to do that, it can cause so much resentment on both sides. I've actually had people that I've done the breakthrough session with where they're still struggling to forgive their husband or wife because their husband or wife said, no, we're not having your parents live with us. Or no, you're not giving that money to them. Or no, you're not quitting your job and going to spend a few months with them because they have a terminal illness. And it's such a difficult thing to navigate. It's so important to get help and really compromise as much as possible. Not that it's just one person's decision, because then that resentment will really weigh on a person. And a lot of people have regret, why didn't I stand up for myself? Or it can just ruin the marriage, unfortunately. So it's so important to keep talking and reach a resolution. And the relationship may also become long distance. So right now I'm supporting a lady to save her marriage and get into the right actions for her husband not to leave her. Her father caught COVID and was in ICU for 9 months, and she left her husband to be with her dad and family. The husband started reflecting negatively on the relationship, feeling neglected, before the father got sick and during the past 9 months. They'd been married for 6 years, and he has a more traditional view of marriage than her. He believes that very little sex for 3 years means his wife is not caring for him. Their sex life and communication was dwindling. He didn't feel supported. He didn't feel important. He felt insignificant. And this was, upon reflection, he said, before her father got sick. And when her father got sick and it became non-existent, her support for him, he started to rethink their whole relationship. Unfortunately, she had no idea he was feeling so hurt, unloved and disappointed. He never said anything. And she was talking to him on the phone during those 9 months. And he was talking back. He didn't say anything. And then once her father was well and she was able to come back to the country where her husband was, he said he doesn't want to be married to her anymore. So they're now working through it. We are focusing on helping to release negativity and resentment, creating a deeper connection between them, understanding the hurt on both sides, and working a way through it. And I'll bring that up because it's so, so important to communicate your frustrations in the day, week, or month that they happen, rather than let them bottle up. If you feel hurt, neglected, sad, stressed, overwhelmed, unsupported, don't sit in your own negative thoughts, getting angrier and more resentful. Speak calmly, share some ideas for how you can move forward together and support one another and be that loving team. So, as you can see, even though looking after a loved one can be so rewarding, it can also really impact a person's life and their relationship with others. It can feel like you're trapped if you're the caregiver for your parents and you also have a family to look after, friends or your partner to look after. So I'm going to share some tips now to help you get that balance between the caregiver role and being present with those that you need to be present with and want to be present with. So the first thing is to look into some respite care. Respite care is temporary cover for a primary caregiver. So this could be other family members or friends that are willing to help as and when needed. If there's no one else close by, there are professional home care companies that provide in-house services to ease a caregiver's load. It could be once a week, or it could be really beneficial if you need to take a short trip away. It's also another tip is to make sure that someone's looking after you as a caregiver. Check in regularly with a trusted loved one. It could be one person, could be two people. It can be so easy for a caregiver to lose their love and support of those around them because they begin to prioritize their caregiving duties. It's so important for all caregivers to enlist a trusted loved one or a few to check in on them. Having a person call you regularly, check that you are okay, check that your mental and physical health is doing well, give you something else fun to think about and talk about, it can be a lovely thing for you. And also help you to maintain a connection. You may want to share your feelings. You may want to share your frustrations, or you may want to think about and talk about different things than your caregiving role. There's also caregiving support groups. If you're the only caregiver in your family and friendship circle, it can feel hard to share things because you may feel that people just don't fully understand what it's like. So I'd highly recommend joining a support group for caregivers. It can be super helpful to share emotions, experiences, and suggestions on how to deal with the responsibilities of caregiving. There may be some really great ones online as well. So just have a look and create your own in your own community if there's perhaps not one. Many find it beneficial to share their difficulties, to listen to the experience of others, so that you can feel supported and less alone in your journey. Now, this is really important, the next point, and it's so obvious, and yet many caregivers that I work with, they completely neglect their own well-being. It is so essential to look after yourself. Make sure that you're eating healthy, increase immune-boosting foods, fruits, vegetables, water, so that your body can get the nutrients that it needs to function best. Along with your nutrition, it's vital to get sleep and exercise because this is going to impact your mood. Your energy will be low if you're not sleeping properly and you're not giving your body time to release the emotions through exercise and decrease the stress in your life. So book it in. I always find that unless I book in my exercise time, my meditation time, my fun time, it doesn't happen. So I actually schedule in fun time, which I know for some people they'd be like, that's not fun, Nicola. But luckily, I don't mind not. I do love being spontaneous, but I'm more than happy to plan in my activities. So do what works for you, but definitely book in time for yourself. And make a conscious effort to maintain friendships. A great way to ease stress is to see friends and do things you love. One night a week, if you can, or one time a week, minimum twice a month. You need to have things to look forward to. Dedicate time to your friends so that you can just relax, have a carefree time with them without feeling guilty. Friends also boost our self-esteem. It's a great stress reliever to laugh and just feel you're safe. You can share your feelings without being judged, and they can build you up when you're feeling drained and tired. And then making time for your romantic relationship. So of course I'm going to say that, aren't I? It's so important though. Looking after someone is an additional responsibility for a caregiver. And so, as mentioned, the couple can start to put each other on the back burner. And so creating a weekly date night or date time, doesn't have to be an evening, making sure that you're connecting with each other by communicating, giving affection, nothing better than giving the caregiver a lovely massage at the end of their day, eating together, putting your phones away, going for nice walks together, having a lie-in together if you can, getting a babysitter or extra support if you need to get that couple time. It's so important. And then there's creating family time, family fun days. If you can, is it possible where you can combine your family with your caregiving role? Can you do activities all together? Can you all cook together, watch a movie together, read stories to one another, play board games together? I get that it may not always be possible. Can you bring everyone together? This can make a connection between all of the people in your life. The more they love and care and are closer to each other, hopefully the more support you'll get. Creating good memories, whether it's in your romantic relationship, with the family, with the person you're looking after, is important. So look for fun ways that you can live out your life. And to end, I just wanted to highlight how important it is in a romantic relationship to understand each other's values, dreams, goals. In part 4 of my 4-step couple program, I have couples individually first look at what is a life well lived to them? What are their core values? What's a life of meaning and fulfillment to them each individually? Because in a relationship, when we support the other person to be the best version of themselves, when we help them to grow, to be the person that they want to be remembered how they want to be remembered, and then they have shared goals together, shared dreams, and they're all in alignment, they're happy. They don't want to leave. They're excited about being together. They're excited about the future. The other 3 steps that I cover in the couples program, if you're interested, is focusing on the actions that create that closeness, that connection. And I'm not talking about a big holiday here or a big purchase there. It's about the daily interactions, the weekly interactions that make you feel, yeah, I'm part of a team. I'm loved, I'm cared for, I'm listened to, I'm respected. And then we focus on step 2, which is clearing those negative thoughts, the draining thoughts, the resentful thoughts that can really weigh a person and a relationship down. And then we look at communication principles, how to communicate through difficult times. It's so easy to communicate when things are going well. When you're in conflict, it's a struggle. If you'd like to find out more about my couples program, you can visit my website, all the details and prices and everything is on there. You can also email me, nb@nicolabeer.com. If for any reason you can't find it and you just want me to email it to you, I'd be more than happy to do that. And do join the Facebook group. I love connecting with you all more closely in there. We have video days, question topics, people post their own relationship struggles or successes, and people give feedback. It's just a lovely community. It's called Relationship Advice and Wellness with Nicola Beer. Do find me on there. And from my heart to yours, take care. Wishing you an amazing week ahead. And I'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. If you are interested in finding out more about becoming a holistic life therapist, would like to get Nicola's mentorship directly, or check out the award-winning audio programs, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Subject to availability, a waitlist may apply.